All right, Steve Elzinga back again. We're in the coaching class. We've been looking at prerequisites. Again, because it's client-centered, so much depends on the client, the progress, what you're going to be talking about, what you're doing. All of it is trying to bring something out of the client. So we want to be sure that there's something there other than just the client. So we've been talking about some things, a little bit of review. We want a client who has a saving relationship to Jesus. You don't want someone who... See, either someone has a connection to Jesus, and what does that mean? When someone comes to Christ, we want two things. We want them to have Jesus as their Savior, okay? He saves you from sin, the consequences of sin, saves you from a destination of hell to heaven. But we also want Jesus as Lord. Okay, a lot of people want Jesus as Savior, but they don't want Him as the Lord of their life. But we want to help someone that wants Jesus as the Lord of their life so that when we try to get them to figure out what they need to do with their life, they have that sort of guidance in the back of their mind, that they're trying to make Jesus the Lord of their life. They're not just following their own inclinations. They don't just want what their instincts want. They want what Jesus wants. We want to help someone who actually wants to be like Jesus, to make Him Lord of their life. So a saving connection to Jesus. We talked about receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, exhibiting the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. We want people to understand and know what their spiritual gift is. The Holy Spirit gives at least one gift to every single Christian, a gift that can be used to build up the people around you, to build up the body of Christ. So what is that gift? So you may have to take some time to help your client figure that out. And that makes Christian coaching different from secular coaching, because you're concerned about their connection to God, their connection to the Holy Spirit. And finally, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit promises to, show us the way. And so as a coach, as I'm trying to help a client, we're not alone in this process. We rely on the Holy Spirit to show us the way. What are some goals that we should have? And we put those things before the Holy Spirit. And we talked about a walk with God. You want a client who is daily walking with God, talking, prayer, listening, Bible, interacting with God on a daily basis. It's like any relationship. My relationship to my spouse informs my life, makes a difference in my life, helps me do or not do the things that I do. Relationships in your life make a difference. And we talked about being part of the church, the body of Christ, that a person needs that kind of support. The body of Christ does two things. It helps spur people on when they need a bit of a push to go do something. And people need encouragement. Hey, you're on the right track. You're doing the right thing. We believe in you. We think that you have gifts and abilities. We know you can do it. People need that kind of encouragement to make changes in their life. People are frustrated with their lives. They're frustrated that they haven't been able to do anything about it. And they need the support of the people around them in order to succeed. And we talked about a person engaged in the seven connections. The seven connections are your connection to God. That's the first circle. Then your connection to your spouse. Then your connection to your family. Connection to friends. Connection to church. Connection to everything that God is doing, His kingdom. And then ultimately, then a connection to people who need all of that. Who need a connection to God, who need a walk with their spouse and their family and their friends, and they need the church. They're missing those connections. So we need to be involved. You want a client who's involved with all those connections. All right, so this is the new part for this session. Client has to be willing to take responsibility. Okay, if you have someone that is so hurt and so needy that they don't take responsibility for doing anything or trying to figure out anything, then what they need is counseling, not coaching. Okay, so that's why it's a prerequisite. You need somebody who's ready and willing and able to take responsibility, or the whole thing will not work. Responsibility for what? Number one, to set up appointments. Okay, now this is sort of counterintuitive. I always thought, you know, at least in my pastoral care work and in my counseling work at church, I was always the driving force. I'm always suggesting maybe you need counseling. And then I'm suggesting, you know, when to meet. And I'm the one, you know, sending out the reminder. Hey, remember Friday at 5 o'clock, we're going to meet. The onus was always on me. I'm the counselor trying to make sure that you show up. And, you know, in part because people don't show up. You know, people want help, but then they don't even show up. And part of it in the ministry world is because, in general, people don't pay. Okay? You know, if I'm doing counseling in my church, it's just part of my work as the pastor of the church. So I'm offering to help someone, but they don't pay, and they don't pay if they don't show up. They don't pay if they do show up. And so it's and because of that, you know, when I'm trying to make an appointment with someone, they never take time off from work. So now I have to meet with them at odd hours. I have to meet after hours. I have to give them evening. So that's what I was doing. I was always bending over backwards to try to help the people in my church. And I thought, well, that's my job. You know, they're paying me to do these things, so I better do these things. I didn't realize that, you know, until studying all this coaching material and so on, that, you know, I'm taking the responsibility that should be on the person that wants the help. And if a person doesn't want the help enough to take responsibility, then there's nothing I can do with them anyway. And I sort of learned that the hard way. I'm trying to help people who really didn't want to be helped. They didn't want to be helped enough to take responsibility. So you need to give responsibility to your client. You call me. You try to figure this out. You're the one that needs to show up, not me. Take responsibility to make all the connections, the appointments, the phone calls, the texts, the messages. Instead of me reminding you, you should remind me. You take ownership of this process, and if you don't take ownership of this process, then I'm not going to do it. See, I was, you know, when I was doing it, I was always the other way. I was like the one driving the thing. I'm the one trying to make this happen. I'm the one that, you know, well, okay, let's make a new appointment. Let's put it on our calendar. No, the client is the one that should be concerned about the next meeting, not me. You have to give them the responsibility for all these things. And that's the first thing you tell them. Look, you're the one that has to drive this. And if you don't drive it, we're not doing it. And, you know, there's a person I'm trying to help right now. I offered to help. I offered to mentor. But they're leaving it in my court. I haven't said a thing in 2 weeks, and this person hasn't come to me. And I don't think they will. And so I'm ready to just say, well, then forget it. You have to want this. And if you don't want it, then let's not do it. Be on time. Okay, that's one of the things I struggled with pastoral care and counseling. You know, we'd set up this time and people would always be 10, 15 minutes late. So there I am. I'm sitting there waiting. And you're busy with your life, and everything you're doing is more important than my time. See, and we allow people to do it. And we're subtly communicating that you know, they're the helpless person who we now have to help. No, I am not here to help you. I'm here to guide you. I'm here to help you help yourself. And if you don't want it enough, then it's not going to happen. We need to turn the tables. The responsibility is not on me. The responsibility is on you. And by the way, when you're trying to help someone and you're coaching someone, you are not responsible for the results either. See, you don't come up with the thing that they should try to do, the goal. You don't come up with the plan. They do. So if they come up with a goal and they come up with a plan and they try it and it totally bombs, it totally fails, whose fault is it? It's not yours. The person has to take responsibility. See, that's why we're not going to give them the plan. We're not going to give them advice. See, if I give them advice and they go out and it fails, then who's to blame? I'm to blame. No. I'm not giving advice. I'm not teaching here. I'm trying to help you do what you think you want to do. And when it fails, what do you learn from it? It's not what do I learn from it, it's what you learn from it. How do you adjust? What should you do? Should you try harder? Is this an obstacle to go over? Is it an obstacle to make a turn? What do you want to do? See? Give the responsibility to the person. The client has to be willing to take responsibility to engage in the process. If they're not going to, you know, you come up with a goal, okay? I want to spend more time with my children. And then he comes up with a plan. I'm going to, you know, take my kids out to eat donuts on Friday. And they come up with this plan. And then you meet the next week. So now you're managing this plan. And they don't do it. And you talk about that, and they, you know, well, I'm going to do it next week. And then they don't do it, and they don't do it, they don't do it. They don't follow through. Or they don't ever come up with anything. Or they can never make a decision about what they want to do. Or they make a decision, but the next time they change the decision. And, you know, the wheels are spinning, but you're not going anywhere. They need to engage in the process. If they don't engage in the process, then it's not going to work. And it's not your fault as the coach. It's their responsibility to engage. The client has to be willing to make the process a priority. Okay, this is a problem because most people are overbooked. Most people have more things on their to-do list than they could ever get done. Most people are behind with all their priorities and all the things that they should do. Everyone feels this way. I am behind. So now I come with a coach, and now the coach is identifying or helping me identify some of the things that are causing trouble in my life, and all of a sudden there's more things that I have on my to-do list. And I take the things that we talk about in the coaching session, and I just add them to my ongoing to-do list that I never get to. Okay, so you know, I'm spending all this time with the client, but he just takes all the stuff we talk about and throws it onto his big list that he never gets to. The stuff that we talk about as coach and client, those things have to be moved to the top of the priority list. And if you're not willing to do that, then this process is not going to work. See, that's why it's a prerequisite. You know, the client has to really want to do this. The client has to say, it's going to involve extra work. I don't know how I'm even going to figure it out. Maybe that's part of what we're going to talk about in this coaching session, is how do I get my priorities and stick with them? What do I drop? How do I figure out what to drop to make this a priority? If we don't make this a priority, then we're just going to be talking. And again, the whole coaching thing is about action, about getting somebody to do something, to change what's going on in their life. So the client has to be willing to make the process of a priority, the appointments. So and this is what happens. You start with the coaching process. People are excited. You get down, you sit down, and you think about, you know, they make some goals, they make some plans. And then the next week they come, and, well, they didn't have time to do it. And so let's meet again. You meet again. And then the third time they call and say, you know, I'm really busy. You know, can we postpone this appointment? And then the next week they call up again. Yeah, you know, we're going to have to postpone it again because, you know, I have this that just came up and I just don't have time to do it all. You know, that's what's going to happen. Life is going to be, you know, all the things that are going on, all the things that are causing trouble in life are going to keep con- continuing on, and guess what? When people make goals and they tell someone, I'm going to do this, and then they don't do it, they don't want to meet again. Why do they want to meet with you? Because you're going to ask how it went, and they're going to say, I didn't do it. And then the next week, you're going to ask again, and they still didn't do it. Who wants to hear that? So they're going to call you and say, let's 3 weeks, let's have an appointment. Yeah. See, they're not taking responsibility for this. They have to stick with the plan. If we're going to meet every week, we're going to meet every week. And if you don't want to do that, then this coaching process is not going to work. Action steps. Client has to be willing to make the process a priority, and the action steps that the client themselves have come up with. This is what the client wants to do. These are the things that the client wants to work on this week. They have to take responsibility and be willing to make that process of working on these things a priority. So they have to understand that up front. You have to clear those things up front. Are we going to do this? Are we going to make this a priority? Client must be willing to pay for the coach's time. Okay, this is a controversial thing. I'm not saying always. I just, from my own experience with, you know, counseling in church, the one reason why it doesn't work very well is, I think, because of this. Because people don't pay. And when people don't pay, generally when people get things for free, they don't take it as seriously. My wife teaches piano lessons. And she was having people pay when, you know, right after the lesson. So, you know, they have a lesson, then they pay. But what was happening is people would call up at the last minute, oh, you know, it's not working out. You know, can we just skip this week and then we'll come next week? And then what's the big deal? So she made a new rule. You pay for the month, the coming month. And if you come or you don't come, you've already paid. And guess what? People don't back out as much because, you know, they have something, they're invested. Without some kind of investment, people just don't follow through. So, I don't know, you know, it's difficult in church because I'm the pastor and people are already paying with their offering, so it's difficult for me to say you should pay, and so it just struggles along. But certainly if you're trying to help people outside of the church, you have to have some kind of payment. It doesn't have to be a lot, but it has to be something. It's interesting that it's not the amount that makes people stick with it. It's something. People have to have some kind of investment. And maybe in church what we should do is, look, you pay ahead of time, and then I give it back to you every time you show up. So if you don't show up, you've paid. And if you do show up, you get it back. I don't know. All I'm saying is, without this sense of investment, without having to put something of themselves into the process, people just don't follow through. And this is, again, about getting people to action, doing something, and holding someone accountable. And so it's a difficult process. Believe me, this is hard. People want this kind of thing in the beginning, but there's always, at least in the beginning, there's all this sense of failure. People are enthusiastic in the beginning, but then they slide into their old habits of procrastination, putting it off, and then they don't want to meet with you anymore. Why? Because meeting with you illustrates their failure. And so there's a hurdle to get over. It's a responsibility hurdle. But if you can help people get past that, and paying is one of the things that might help, then people can succeed. So these are the prerequisites. We've talked about the last few sessions. You have to take them seriously. You might need a little bit of discussion to see where people are at. And once you have these prerequisites sort of taken care of, then you can move into the actual coaching.